You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up today marked the first day of Senate confirmation hearings for President-elect Trump's cabinet nominees. We'll look at the political back and forth as confirmations get underway.
Now, Governor Scott Walker gave his State of the State address this afternoon. We're analyzing the speech now with Charlie Jacobs.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your reaction to Governor Walker's State of the State address and the Democratic response from Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling? What parts of the speeches did you like? What do you wish the governor had mentioned but didn't? What issues are you watching for in 2017? Call in now at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Charlie Jacobs is an associate professor of political science at St. Norbert College. Charlie, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the theme of Governor Walker's speech, working and winning for Wisconsin, how did that theme come together over the course of that address?
I mean, I think he tied it in well with the major policy proposals that he was offering, and I think it sort of strikes the same kind of theme and dovetails well with what Republicans are hoping to do at the national level and the kinds of ideas that Trump has been promoting in the days running up to his inauguration. So I think that there was probably a hope to do that, as well as I think a little nostalgia there for Ronald Reagan and the line he used, "Are you better off now than you were 6 years ago?" So I mean, kind of beating the typical Republican drum on policy, and I think his theme connected to all of that.
And does this sound like a possible campaign slogan for someone running for re-election in a year?
Yeah, I think he kind of slipped and maybe showed his cards a little bit at one point when he talked about 2017 and beyond regarding finding workers for Wisconsin. So it sounded like he was kind of tipping his hat a little bit and indicating that there's a likelihood he's going to be running for another term in office.
And the governor painted Wisconsin with a rosy economic picture there, talking about reducing the taxpayer burden, among other things, to the tune of $4.7 billion. What else did he say there?
Well, I mean, I think he was trying to demonstrate that under his stewardship, we've seen a recovery that is matching, if not exceeding, most of the United States. Certainly giving a little credit or credence, I think, to anything that Barack Obama has done, which is not unexpected. But at the same time, I think, doing the sort of typical reflection on Doyle's administration and some of the stumbles that he saw running up to and through the recession as it started in 2008. So, I mean, I think what he was trying to do was focus on some of the real wins that we've seen in Wisconsin since he took office that have sort of matched what you've seen, the slow recovery on a national level as well.
Right. Senator Schilling talking about the set of data that the Democrats are more prone to refer to on lagging the national recovery rate on some measures. Governor Walker looking at the ones that look a little rosier. In general, are we just sort of tracking the recovery from the low points of the recession 2008 to 2010?
That's sort of been typical with Walker and his administration is they often, and you know, a lot of fact checkers have pointed this out, they use convenient dates and times to demonstrate sort of bolder outcomes than you might be able to necessarily demonstrate. And that's not to diminish what the governor has done and what the Republican legislature has done, because again, they have tracked sort of the national recovery. In some measures, we've lagged a bit, but in others, we've been quite good. In fact, if you look at some of the Bureau of Labor Statistics over the last couple of years, our average wage has increased at a rate that's been greater than at the national level. Now, we've lagged in job creation, so you know, you sort of have a yin and a yang with some of these data. But, I mean, it's typical of any administration, Democratic or Republican. You are going to try to find the silver lining anywhere you can to sort of burnish your bona fides and make the public feel positive about your stewardship of the state.
And Charlie, I want to switch over to one of the bigger surprises of this State of the State address, and that was some of Governor Walker's comments about the UW system. He again painted in good terms, talked about how it had moved up the rankings, talked about college debt, and that's when he talked about his idea for the future.
College affordability was also a major issue at our listening sessions, but it wasn't just students who raised it as a concern, as they're concerned about the cost of higher education. It was parents, grandparents, educators, and many others. That's why I'm pleased to announce that our 2017 through 2019 state budget will do more than just freeze tuition. We will actually cut, that's right, cut tuition for all Wisconsin undergraduates throughout the UW system.
So cutting tuition, not just unfreezing tuition, which has been the case for a while now, but cutting it, is that a big surprise to you, Charlie?
It is, and I think it's probably a big surprise to those in the UW system who crunched the numbers. I mean, they asked for the third largest appropriation among all the departments of government, including more than 2% increase in operating funds. So I'm wondering what that's going to do to their projections and what the likely effects it's going to have on staffing, on class sizes, and the like, because there has to be some sort of give and take if you're going to cut tuition dollars. I mean, you've seen UW try to plug some holes by increasing out-of-state tuition, which of course might alienate some students from coming to Wisconsin. So it's going to be an interesting conversation, and I think UW is going to want to see how these numbers work out when the governor finally delivers his budget and offers his more detailed budget address.
Talking about Governor Walker's State of the State Address with Charlie Jacobs from St. Norbert College. We'll go to a caller now. Gordon is on the line in Wisconsin Rapids. Gordon, hi.
Hey, guys. Hey, great show. You know, I love the tuition freeze, and the tuition cut means it's less that we have to pay for our daughter at Point to go to college, and less she'll have to pay back when she gets out in the working world, and it's fantastic. You know, it's I just heard that UW Stevens Point got $1 million donation for their one of their programs, the natural resources. So there's money out there to be had, and cut them and freeze it. It's great.
Gordon, thanks for the call. So one parent there of a Stevens Point, UW-Stevens Point student, happy with this cut. But as you say, Charlie, it changes the math for UW officials here.
And remember, there was an act passed a couple years back that asks for some other formulations from departments. You know, if their budget had to be zero growth or had to be a 5% cut, what would you do? And UW's reaction was, we're going to have to lay off a lot of staff, you know, faculty and staff, in order to accommodate either zeroing out our budget or reducing our budget. And I mean, while as a parent who has a son who's about to go to school, I understand the concerns about the sticker price for a lot of these schools, both public and private, and it can be shocking and really take your breath away. But at the same time, in order to control costs, there are trade-offs to be made. And so parents have to be aware and students have to be aware that there are going to be some ramifications if budgets drop because tuition dollars disappear for these administrators.
Governor Walker seemed to be making the case that tuition has been frozen for a while now, but that the UW is still managing and rising in the ranks. He mentioned UW going up in the U.S. News and World Report rankings. Didn't mention UW slipping out of the top five research universities for the first time in 45 years, according to the National Science Foundation. So is that going to be a battle point about how well the UW is managing to weather some of these cuts?
I think that is certainly going to be a data point for the UW system to point to. I'm not sure how well that's going to resonate with those in the Assembly, in the Senate, and with the governor. I don't know whether or not they find that a significant priority and whether or not they think that slip is short-term or something long-term and what kind of effect it's going to have. Governor Walker has always impressed me as somebody who's very student-centered in the sense of wants to be sure that students and their families can afford the process. And I think you see some of that in the discussions about that course that's being objected to by some members of the legislature regarding race and whiteness in the population. I think that sometimes they focus on some of the operation of the university system that seems tangential to what the students should be doing in the classroom. And so I think that it's going to be difficult for UW to sort of point to those kinds of things and convince the governor and others that that's where the money should be going.
We're talking with political scientist Charlie Jacobs right now, talking about Governor Scott Walker's State of the State Address.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What did you think of the governor's speech? What caught your attention? What was missing, do you think, in what the governor had to say and in what Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling had to say in response? What issues are you watching for in 2017 in the state budget as well? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation and get to your calls in just a minute. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our discussion now about Governor Scott Walker's State of the State address this afternoon. Charlie Jacobs from St. Norbert College is with us analyzing the speech.
And we want to hear your thoughts at 800-642-1234. What do you think were the big themes of Governor Walker's speech? What were the highlights? And what do you think the governor left out that you think maybe needed more attention, more focus? You can call us at 800-642-1234. And you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
The governor also talked about K through 12 education. Here's a listen to a little bit of what he had to say.
And families, particularly low-income families all across the state, now have more quality choices in education. For many, like my family, it'll be a traditional public school. For others, it will be a choice or a charter school. Some will choose a virtual school, while others prefer to homeschool their children. Whatever the option, when it comes to making the right choice for their daughters and sons, I trust parents.
Charlie, we've seen increases in voucher aid for parents around the state. The voucher program started smaller just in the Milwaukee area, been added to more areas. Are we expecting to see more expansion in the coming budget?
I would expect so. I mean, this is something that the Republicans and the governor have pursued, and they may get a boost with Donald Trump's selection for Education Secretary Betsy DeVos. I mean, she has been an advocate just like Governor Walker has for years, and she's supported it with her pocketbook and supported it in states nationwide. So I think that you may see some educational dollars coming at the federal level to support some of these, and that's going to help the effort here in the state for the government in pursuing this policy issue.
And the governor did say he was planning on allocating more money to public education, emphasis on rural schools and the needs there. Is that something that Wisconsinites have been looking for?
Yes, because of some changing demographics and some changing conditions. So many of the costs for schools are fixed, and if you start losing population or losing student enrollment, those fixed costs don't typically go away, but the tax dollars that are flowing into any local school district drop. So this is a way to sort of offset that change that's occurring to try to help sustain the quality of education in the rural areas, even though they're losing population.
Let's bring in a caller. We've got Tony on the line in Madison. Tony, hi.
Hi, how's it going? Thank you very much. My daughter goes to UW-Stevens Point, too, and I just think the analogy you got to draw is like, yeah, tuition might be cheaper and the freezing of the cuts, but the quality of the education is much worse since Walker Republicans have taken over. If compare the UW used to be a Cadillac Escalade, and right now it's a Ford Pinto, but you're paying, yeah, so what if you're paying a little bit less? Quality of education has gone down. It's harder to get classes that the kids want,
Tony, I gotcha. So concern there from a parent that, okay, maybe I'm paying a little less. Am I getting the quality of education? I'm sure, Charlie, this is something we'll be hearing in the argument over a tuition freeze and what happens to UW funding coming up.
I'm sure that one of the arguments we're going to hear is that the quality may stay the same, but the opportunity to take the courses you want or need might disappear. And so the offset may be that you're going to save dollars per semester, but you may need a semester or two more to graduate because you couldn't get into the classes you need because they were capped at a certain number or there weren't sufficient faculty or staff to help run these. So that's going to be an argument you're likely to hear from Democrats and also from the UW system advocates itself.
And the governor also talked about welfare reform, wanting Wisconsin to be a leader there, pushing the federal government for more latitude in that direction for the state. What did that seem to say to you about direction coming up, Charlie?
This is something that both the governor and Republican governors in other states have been pushing, things like drug testing for particular welfare benefits and the like. And some of these can be approved. Some of these need approval by the federal government. Some do not. And some states have certainly tested these kinds of ideas. What we've seen with a lot of these testing programs in particular for access to benefits through drug testing is that they're rather expensive and don't save the requisite money to offset the cost of the testing program. And of course, there have been claims, although not tested specifically in courts, at least not at the United States Supreme Court level, that there might be a constitutional infirmity in particular related to the Fourth Amendment and an illegal search related to this kind of drug testing.
Let's go back to listening to Governor Walker in the speech now on an issue that's going to be a big deal, maybe a big debate among Republicans in the budget, transportation. Here's a listen.
Last year alone, there were more than 300 road construction projects going on in the state. You probably drove through one of them. Looking ahead, we'll provide local governments with the largest increase in transportation aids since the 1990s.
And the governor compared, he said he'd spent $18 billion on road projects in a six-year period compared to $16 billion in the six years before that. People point out that's not much more than the rate of inflation a little bit. And then this idea that he'll spend more but no revenue increases. This will be something interesting to watch in the budget, Charlie.
It will, because it will likely mean more borrowing, and there are some Republicans who are as adamantly against borrowing money for these projects as the governor is for increasing taxes. So I think that's where you're going to see individuals butting heads. I suppose there's some hope by many, not just Republicans in the state legislature, that Trump is able to convince the Republicans in Congress to open up the federal coffers and provide those infrastructure funds that he promised. I mean, he argues kind of this almost Depression era-like infrastructure program to help bolster those elements in the United States. The problem is there may be an unwillingness by Republicans at the national level to do that. So I'm not sure whether or not they want to kind of count on those kinds of dollars coming into the state to help offset either the borrowing or a potential tax increase.
We're talking to Charlie Jacobs right now from St. Norbert College, looking at Governor Walker's State of the State address delivered just this afternoon. And we'll take another caller now. We've got Zach on the line with us in Waupaca. Zach, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think this is politics as usual. Anytime there's anything that's all rosy, then we really probably aren't talking about the real issues or the problems that the citizens are having. And I think this is demonstrated through both the egregious things going on with campaign financing and outside money dictating policy that Walker is choosing. And also there's now bipartisan support with Schultz and Collins that the gerrymandering that's happened in our state is completely undemocratic. I think these are huge problems, and I'm afraid our citizens are going to sleep on them.
Zach, thanks a lot for the call. And Charlie, was the picture from Governor Walker out of line with what you might normally hear in a state of the state? Would you expect to hear a governor to say, you know, we need to do better on Area X?
No, I mean, these are typically partisan speeches. They are rallying cries, especially when you have unified government, as you do here in the state, to hopefully convince the assembled members of the state legislature to pass your priorities and to demonstrate that the party in power is doing well. I don't think he was egregious in the way in which he promoted the party and promoted the good work that they've done over the last several years. That's typical. I think it's incumbent upon Democrats, if they want to gain traction with the public, to make their case and make it well. They have to be able to demonstrate clearly to the public that the state is on the wrong track, to try to undermine the arguments that Walker was making today. Whether or not they're going to be able to do that with their small numbers in both the Assembly and the Senate remains to be seen. But those are the kinds of things that the Democrats have to do.
Let's go back to our callers now. Jan is on the line in Douglas County. Jan, hi.
Hi. I, too, am concerned about the narrow focus of Governor Walker's speech. Both environment and climate change were not present in the discussion, and certainly not only the long-term viability of the University of Wisconsin, which is a main research institution, but to prevent DNR people from even discussing climate change and much less dealing with it is almost treasonous.
Jan, thanks for the call. Jan saying need to hear more about climate change and the environment, and of course possible changes, some calls for different kinds of reorganization, maybe drastic changes coming up at the DNR, Charlie.
Yeah, that's been in the news lately that, you know, there were some inquiries about, you know, what the climate change statements were online, and then they got scrubbed. And so now there's a different statement about sort of the equivocal nature that DNR will take when it comes to the data that's up online and the way in which the DNR is going to treat those kinds of data in the future. I mean, I think Jan is pointing out that, of course, any partisan is going to focus on those issues that he or she thinks are most important in a speech like this. And I agree with Jan that there were elements of the environment and other things that were lacking. One of the other things that I found lacking was no real focus on urban politics or the issues of the major urban centers in the state. No talk about Milwaukee, no talk about policies to help improve those areas. One small focus on Kenosha there at the very beginning of the speech. But, you know, it's a central component of state politics and one that has been a challenge, I think, both for the mayor of Milwaukee and for the governor. And that was really lacking in the speech about if there's a policy agenda for addressing some of the urban issues that face us.
And Charlie, as we start to wrap up, the governor's budget address is what's up next. Any hints in today's State of the State about what kind of territory he might cover in that speech?
You know, I think we heard the major themes. Education is going to be big, workforce training. I expect you're going to see the technical college get some sort of boost, as well as those programs he was touting regarding apprenticeships and internships, even at the high school level, discernment kinds of programs for students. So those are sort of positives to help fill those 80,000 open jobs that he pointed to. But at the same time, you know, we rank about 36th in the country in job growth. So it's not just about getting those jobs filled, but also about increasing the number of jobs in the state. So I think that's going to be something you're going to see in the budget as well that kind of meshes with this idea of workforce development. So I suspect there's going to be programmatic dollars for that as well.
Charlie, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
That was Charlie Jacobs, Associate Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College. He joined us for analysis of Governor Scott Walker's State of the State address delivered just this afternoon.
Coming up, Senate confirmation hearings began today for Donald Trump's cabinet nominees, beginning with arguments over Attorney General nominee Jeff Sessions. We'll hear the latest. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.